Well, tonight we want to continue. We've been talking, really what we've been talking about for a month or more is Jesus' words, Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to every nation as a witness, then the end will come. In other words, the earthquakes, the famines, the wars, the rumors of wars, and all of the judgments of God, that's not the last. The last thing is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And then Jesus will return and establish his kingdom. And then we've been talking, last time we were talking about moving in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. We are to pursue those gifts. We need to be baptized in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit, so that we can carry out, because Jesus wants us to do his works. Our basic job is to do his works. He's in heaven, we're on the earth. And so we're his feet, we're his hands, we're his body. And so he wants us to do those works of his on the earth. Most people haven't believed this. Most people, most Christians in most churches today don't believe this. But this is exactly what he says. And he means what he says. And it's coming. Well, the people are prepared for it. I hope they will be. I hope you will prepare. Because we need to be prepared. And so we need to move into the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God, pursue the supernatural gifts, so that we can effectively preach the gospel of the kingdom as Jesus, just in preparation for the coming of Jesus to establish the kingdom. Now, the last time we said that there is going to be tremendous resistance to the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And so, I used to think, well, you know, once we get to the gospel of the kingdom, why, there would be more resistance. But no, there's going to be the greatest resistance of Satan and demonic forces and powers. And you're seeing Satan begin to, well, I've lived a long time, many, many years. And I didn't think I would ever see in my lifetime what I have seen in America and what is happening. I mean, demonic, direct demonic forces are being released in America. And if I'm sensing correctly, I don't usually say anything about time. And I'm still not going to give you any date, but I believe that within this year and next year, I believe great things are going to occur. And God will move on us in a way that we have never been moved on. But Satan has a weapon. He has many weapons, but he has a weapon that he uses over and over and over. And that weapon is fear. And so tonight's teaching is going to be, I am titled it, Freedom from Fear. Freedom from fear. We need to be set free. Listen, there's nothing you can do to set yourself free, but Jesus, through the word, Jesus has provided for you to be set free of fear. The Lord showed me many years ago that fear of death is the most primal fear. It is the essence of negative emotions. Anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred, all those things go with fear. Jealousy, envy, all kinds of things go with fear. But fear, fear of death is the key. Now, we're going to be looking at all of the major types of fear that the Lord has shown me in my life to teach on tonight. I think we'll be able to cover them at least briefly. But fear of death is certainly a key. The Bible says Jesus was manifested to destroy the power of the devil. Also in Hebrews 2, I'll read it more fully later, it indicates that Jesus came to set us free from bondage of fear of death, whom all people are in. Not one person is originally not in bondage to fear of death. Now, you can be set free, and you need to be, But it is a universal bondage that Jesus says only He, through His work in you, can set you free from. In fact, to set people free from fear, only Jesus is the one who can set us free from fear. Now, in Matthew 10, I have a few verses that I want to read in the beginning to introduce this topic of freedom from fear and what Jesus will do and what Jesus is telling us ahead of time. See, we often fear the unknown. In fact, that next verse I'm going to read has to do with fear of the unknown. We generally fear the unknown. We fear what's coming. We fear what we don't know what's coming. And the more we know of what's coming from the Lord and from the Word. Now, the Word is the only reliable. There's no other prophetic guide except the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. And the Bible is the only prophetic guide to what's coming. But we have to be careful because we can be misled thinking we are hearing from God. And so, and this is not my teaching tonight, but we must test and try the spirits to see if they are of God. And the most important test, testing by the Word of God. Testing by the Word of God. There are many other tests, but testing by the Word of God is a key. Look with me at Matthew 10, verse 26. Therefore, do not fear. Now, these are commands. Do not fear. Now, remember what I say about the commands of Jesus. When Jesus commands you something, you should say, yes, sir, Lord. Therefore, do not fear. Yes, sir, Lord. Therefore, do not fear. What? For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. What is unknown, we often fear, will be made known. What you need to know about what's coming is in the Word. Now, the greatest revelation will be when the Holy Spirit shows you the meaning of a passage. Maybe you've read 100 times, 200 times, 300 times, and suddenly the Holy Spirit makes you aware this is what it means. And so it's revealed. And so this is why you need to read the Word, read the Word. Read the Word. If you don't understand a part of the Word, keep reading it, keep praying, keep reading it, keep praying. Always with the determination that when you know what it means, you will obey it. God will reveal things if He knows that you have an obedient heart and that when He shows you something, that you will obey it. And so we don't need to fear the unknown because God will reveal to us in the time and the way when we need to know and what we need to know. You don't need to worry about being deceived by the Antichrist or deceived by the devil. If you stay in the Word, are ready immediately once it is known to you what it means, then you are willing then to begin to obey it immediately. And so, don't fear the unknown. God will let you know what you need to know. Some things He won't let you know because you shouldn't know. Listen, if God tried to show us everything He knows, we would, I mean, I believe our minds would split apart. I don't think we couldn't take all that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit know. We'd have to have the heavenly mind. The heavenly mind is eternal. See, our minds are finite. Our minds think in time. You have a beginning and you have an end. Well, God's mind is the eternal now. And everything in the past, everything in the present, everything in the future is all one, now, to God. 2,000 years ago is now to God. 10 years ahead is now to God. 100 years ahead is now to God. It's all the great eternal now to God. The eternal now. So don't fear the unknown. Now, Matthew 10, verse 29, and verses 29, 32, and 33. 29, 32, and 33. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Verse 32, everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Give public witness. Bible says in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses. The Greek is, you shall be martyrs. You shall be martyrs. In other words, you shall tell the truth and speak the truth. Now, don't speak. See, don't speak everything you know that the Holy Spirit's shown you. Speak those things publicly that the Holy Spirit both says, this is what I'm saying, I want you to speak this. He will speak to you to know when to speak things that he has shown you, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't know something and then he causes you to know it, but you will, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, he will tell you when to speak these things. And you are to give public witness. Because verse 33 says, but whoever shall deny me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And you deny the Lord by refusing to speak what God has told you to speak. You don't deny the Lord if the Lord hasn't told you to speak, but you will know when the Lord has told you to speak. And even you, when you don't know what you're going to speak, the Lord will give you what to speak. If you've operated in the supernatural gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, you know when you begin to prophesy or you begin to speak a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. You don't know what you're going to speak. See, normally you think out what you're going to speak. But when the Holy Spirit is moving, your intellectual mind is in neutral. So that your spirit man can be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying. See, listen, summary of the whole teaching tonight. You will not be without fear. You can be delivered from fear only if you move in the Word of Christ and if you move in the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit gives you utterance to speak and speak, because the watchman, like Ezekiel, when God called a watchman, they were to watch and warn the nation. And if they warned the nation, the prophets like Ezekiel, if they warned the nation, then the blood of the people was not on the prophet. But if the prophet was to warn the people and does not warn the people, then the blood of the people is on the prophet. So, and we are going to see more and more revelation and more prophetic things. But beware, you're going to see false prophetic things. But don't fear the false, because God will show you the truth. So don't fear the unknown. Don't fear public witness. Don't fear public witness. Now, Matthew 10:25. It is enough for the disciple that he becomes as his teacher, and the slave is his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Now, I summarize this one. Don't fear religious leaders. In the end days, you're going to have a demonically controlled false church. It's going to become the apostate church, the church that falls away. But the church that falls away will claim to be of God. And if you are moving in the Spirit, this has already happened to me. If you're moving in the Spirit and hear from God, you will be called Jesus. The Pharisees and Sadducees said that Jesus cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. So they not only blasphemed Christ and refused to follow him, but they said he was led by Satan and controlled by Satan. We had a revival that I helped lead, Denny Strickler and I, in 1995 in Wilmore. We rented the United Methodist Church. We had it about full for a week. And it was a great revival, and God moved in great power. And we saw people saved. We saw people baptized in the Holy Spirit. We saw people delivered from demon power. We saw, I never thought I was a member of that church, but I never thought I'd see what I saw during that week. I mean, slain in the spirit, people knocked down by the power of God were all over the floor, all over the choir loft, all over the hall, all over in the basement. I mean, and this was a great, great move of God. People came from a lot of different places. But there was a group, especially from Wilmore, from the college and the seminary, who basically were saying that all of this is of Satan. And, I mean, since I was one of the leaders, naturally, this is what some said of me. Now, I know that God was moving and delivering people from deep, deep demonic bondage and was baptizing people in the Holy Spirit and was healing. I mean, there were many miracles of healing. See, this is going to occur again, but be sure that many in the... So don't fear religious leaders, because they will be claiming, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they said Jesus was casting out demons by Beelzebub. Jesus himself. So if, let me read it again, if the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how about you? You, the members of his body, don't you think you will be called? Indeed, you will. You will not be patted on the back. The more you move in the Holy Spirit without fear, the more you will be attacked directly. But don't fear that. God will protect you. Now, there will be some who will be martyred. And I read it before, Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be martyrs. Speak the truth. When I was in the Chinese church, in the underground church in 2005 and 6, I've never met so many pastors. They were all from the underground church, who basically their attitude was, and in 06, we were almost arrested, but their attitude was, we want to hear the gospel. We must hear the gospel. If we get arrested, fine, we don't care. We must hear the gospel. See, I've never been with an American audience like that. And then the Lord told us, 20 minutes before the police came to arrest, to flee. But see, God can lead people to be arrested. Or God can move and bring protection. You must hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because they will call you Beelzebub. They will say you are the devil. As I said, I've experienced it. I know I was not. I know that I have been delivered and I have been saved and I was miraculously healed of cancer, of something I should have died of many, many years ago. Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body. Don't fear physical death, but are unable to kill the soul. Your spirit, or your will, your mind, your emotions, your soul, and your spirit. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Well, who can destroy soul and body in hell? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Fear the second death. The first death is the physical death. The second death means that you are headed for hell, and the judgment of hell eternally forever. So the second death is the only thing you need to fear. But if you will obey and witness without fear, see, Jesus can deliver you and will deliver you from every one of these initial fears that we're talking about. Now, I'm going to come back to that fear of death. And then one last thing in Matthew 10, and then we'll move to the five major types of fear. Matthew 10:34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is not the military sword. Jesus is not going to come to head a military army, a traditional military army. He will head the army from heaven. It will be supernatural spiritual power that is far greater than nuclear power or any power that an army has. I often mention it. I mentioned it here last week, but or 2 weeks ago. Sennacherib's army had 185,000 men surrounding Jerusalem, and God intervened, and they were all dead in the morning. And God's going to intervene. Listen, God's going to intervene supernaturally. I mean, all of the nations of the East and many nations around the world are going to band together to destroy Israel. And God will not permit Israel to be destroyed. Amen. He will intervene supernaturally by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God. So he said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword of the Spirit. Now, when the Antichrist comes, listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:3. While they are seeking or asking or saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly. When people are crying peace and safety, destruction. Why? Because there is a false peace that men, listen, when men in the world try to use an international organization to use military force to create peace, it's a false peace. It's a false peace. The symbol for that false peace is the broken cross upside down. It's the peace sign. Jesus or Peter was crucified, asked the arms of the cross to be broken. And they came down like this and like this. And he put a circle around it, it's a peace sign. The peace sign of the world that I see young people wearing is a sign of the Antichrist. But the Antichrist is coming to bring false peace. False peace always is a man-made peace using the United Nations or some world government to by force create peace. They worship peace. I mean, Caesar Augustus had an altar built to peace in the Roman Empire. But it's the Pax Romana, the 200-year period when Rome had so much military power, no one could fight them. But that's not true peace. Well, you have to have military power, and you have to be on guard for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years. You have to be on guard because they're waiting to get back at you. But the peace, well, Isaiah and Jeremiah, both, Jeremiah especially, chapters 1 through 9. I mean, many things he prophesies, but especially he prophesies, they cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And this is what the Antichrist, beware, because there will be people who are Christians, not listening to the Holy Spirit, not reading the Word of God, who will think that they are following, as they follow the Antichrist, they will think they are following a man of peace, and after all, a man of peace would have to be Christian. But what better guise for Satan to come in than a man of peace? And of course, it will not bring peace. In fact, when the Antichrist comes, there'll be war, war, war. But Jesus will bring the peace. Now, there are five types of peace. I have taught on these religious spirits before, but I decided to just call out the parts of the teaching on the five types of religious spirits to call out what type of fear. What type of fear? These are five major types of fear. And all of these types of fear, God wants you to be delivered from, and He will deliver you from all these types of fear. But you should know them. You should know what they are, because God wants to deliver you from them. There is the spirit of the Pharisees, the spirit of the Sadducees, the spirit of Herod, the spirit of the Galatians, the spirit of the Corinthians. By the way, in the Bible, the first time I noticed these five, the Bible said there are five types of leaven. Leaven is a symbol for sin. five types of sin. But then one day when I was about 1990, 1991, I was sitting outside the church in Nicholasville where we, another man and I were preaching for a while. The Lord said directly, I mean, he spoke this directly to me. He said, son, these five types of religious spirits, or these five types of leaven, are five religious spirits. And the key to all religious spirits is they will promote a form of godliness, but deny the power of it. Deny the supernatural power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Word. Because Paul says, I want your faith to be based on power of God, not doctrine, power of God. Because the only thing that will defeat Satan is supernatural dunamis, that's the Greek word for power, dunamis, or we get our English word dynamite. That's the power that created the world, and God spoke, and out of nothing, everything was created. That's power. That's power. So, these five types of religious spirits also introduce five types of religious or of fear. And each one of these religious spirits promotes a certain type of fear. So let's look at these five types of religious fear. Because if we understand these, we can then plead the blood, bind Satan, and come against each one of these types of fear. And by the way, the victory over fear is never a one-time thing. Because about the time you think that you will never fear death again, something happens, and suddenly there will be a fear of death that you have to deal with. And so this is an abiding faith, a continuing faith, to continue to confess and to continue to resist. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him firm in your faith, daily, if necessary, hourly, if necessary. Because the devil won't give up. So never give up, never give up, never give up, never give up, never give up. And God can give you the strength to do this. Now, let's read something about the Pharisees and the fear that they introduced. I think first that we must remember something about the Bible and about what Christ has done. We must embrace the genuine reality of the supernatural world, both the light, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the reality of that supernatural power. See, a lot of Christians don't embrace the reality of that supernatural power. And we must embrace the reality that Satan is a fallen angel, and that he is the head of hell, and that he has a host of demons. A third of the angels fell. And those angels are coming against you. Satan is coming against you. And his demons, that really we call them demons, the fallen angels we call demons. And their demonic powers over the whole world. Their demonic powers over cities and states and nations. Their demonic powers over kings. And then their demonic powers over human beings. To interfere in the life of human beings. So the first thing we must remember is that we must embrace the reality for to deal with all of these types of fear. Because these types of fear come out of the supernatural world. And they come out of the dark supernatural world. The only fear in the light supernatural world, the only fear that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, the only fear they promote is an awe of God. Mm-hmm. To be in awe of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I mean, on the Ten Commandments, they were in such awe. God spoke directly to them, and they thought they were all going to die. So yes, there is, we fear God in the sense of in great awe of him. But we must embrace the fact that there is a reality. I can't tell you how many people do not accept. You write a book on something like this, speak about something like this, and you begin to realize how many people do not accept the actual reality of a light supernatural power, that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are moving supernaturally, constantly, not just in the New Testament, not just the New Testament church, but from the beginning when Jesus came, and Jesus came then, especially after he went to the right hand of the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came down to baptize the whole church in the Holy Spirit. The church has been involved in the supernatural gifting of the Holy Spirit. And it's a real world. It's a real world. It's more real than our physical world. Because everything in the physical world came out of what we do not see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is based on what Jesus has accomplished and done in the supernatural world. He died. He was raised. He went to the right hand of the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit. These are supernatural things. And so we must embrace the reality of both the reality of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and the reality of a demonic world. Now, the key to the fear that the Pharisees promoted, and the Pharisees were in this kind of fear, is fear of death. But there are two meanings here of fear of death. One is the fear of physical death. And they were in a fear of physical death. Anyone who does not know Jesus, anyone who has not come into Jesus and into the life of the Holy Spirit, will be in fear of death. You cannot be delivered from fear of death unless you are in Jesus, and Jesus in you, and the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and the power of the Holy Spirit moving in you. Because the Holy Spirit will speak, and he will tell you, and you will know you have authority over this whole world. Let me read verses in Matthew 16 that explain this fear of death, both the fear of physical death and the fear of death to the self-life. Let me say that again. The fear of physical death and the fear of death to the self-life. Because the Pharisees feared death in a physical sense, but they feared death to the self-life. What's the self-life? The soul life. The soul life. And the soul is our will, mind, and emotions. And we are to die to our own will. We are to die to our own mind. We are die to our own emotions. We are to have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus' will should be our will continually. Jesus' emotions should be our emotions. Mm-hmm. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there is no power. So, let me begin to read how Jesus puts it. Because most of this passage, or much of this passage, is Jesus. It's Matthew 16 and verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now notice what Jesus said. Peter has just pronounced a heavenly truth that he could not have known intellectually. The Holy Spirit had to reveal this to him. This is a supernatural revelation. You cannot know what Peter said about Christ unless the Holy Spirit has revealed it, because they said, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Your mind didn't reveal this to you. But my Father who is in heaven, in other words, the Father, through the Holy Spirit, revealed that Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's how he knew. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Petros in the Greek, small stone. Small stone. And upon this rock, a large cornerstone rock, Jesus himself is the Word, become flesh. This Word is the Word. It's the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the Word. And I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. He's going to build his church first on the cornerstone of Jesus, and Jesus is one with the Word, and then on people who become little stones. They are built on the Word, and they are built on the Word, then they become stones, they become priests, they become those who can minister in Jesus through the power of Jesus, so that the whole body of Christ is meant to be a part of that cornerstone Jesus, and the whole building then, we are living stones in 1 Peter, we are living stones built up into a heavenly fellowship, living stones. When you are baptized in the Spirit and move in the Spirit, and when there is anointing of God and the power of God is flowing through you based on Jesus, the cornerstone and the Word, and the power from heaven is coming and people are healed and people are delivered and people are saved and people are baptized on the Holy Spirit, then you have become the church. The building of the church is Holy Spirit, people. It's people who make up the church. And so, he wants us to know that this, the gates of hell, cannot overpower this, because you will come to the place where you are no longer in fear of death. And you will know you are in life, and you will know that Jesus, the life, the eternal life of God, is in you, and that Jesus has gone to the right hand of the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit as you have received it. And therefore you will do his works as you believe and the power of God, and people will be saved spiritually, healed physically, delivered from demonic power, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. All of the things that Jesus was doing, he told the disciples, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. These things moved and are moving again. I've mentioned Heidi Baker a number of times. In fact, Monica came in, and she's the one who gave me the book in the first place. I appreciate she giving it to me, because her ministry in Mozambique, she and her husband, I mean, there's a constant flow of the supernatural power of God. Without fear, she put herself in a place where she could have died and should have died in many instances, and God's power was around her and protected her. And the power of God, you know, she said, one of the best ways to draw people into the kingdom is to ask how many go into a village and ask how many have anyone that died, and if they want to pray for them to be raised from the dead. And so many people are raised from the dead, and she says, people come into the kingdom. That's the way to lead people into the kingdom. And they go into a village and say, how many are deaf? We'd like to pray for you, for God to heal your ears. And so they're prayed for, and the deaf are healed. And come into a village and say, how many are blind? And then pray for the blind. The blind are all healed. And so how many would come into the kingdom? When people realize that Jesus is real, and that what he did in the Gospels and the book of Acts, he does today, but we don't believe it. And see, fear keeps us. Now let me read a little bit more about this fear of the Pharisees, because it's fear of death, and especially not just physical death, but fear of death to the self-life. Death to my own mind, my own will, my own emotions. Death to all that I am, understanding that I must die if the fullness of Christ is to flow through me. If the fullness of his life is to flow through me, if I am to be set free from fear of death. Listen, You get a whole church, and it's coming, people. It's coming. I can't wait. It's coming. I mean, the God, through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God, is going to unify the church all around the world. And he's going to purify all the church around the world. He's going to empower all the church around the world. And then, the power that will be released through a unified church, no disagreement, the apostates will fall away. And total unity. We can't get one church unified through our methods. But Jesus will unify so that, and purify so that, the power of God will not be limited. We constantly limit the least little bit of our flesh, the least little bit of our own mind, the least little bit of our own will, the least little bit of our emotional personhood that gets in the way of Christ. And all fear. Can you imagine a whole army all around the world without any fear of death? What do you think the devil can do? Nothing. Because the worst thing the devil can do is cause physical death. But he can't cause second death. And there'll be a boldness. I mean, even in China at that time, when the police, most of the people, they asked me what I thought we ought to do, whether we break up the meeting, and I said, well, all I knew to do is pray. And so we prayed, and the Lord said, break up the meeting. And so we did, and the police came in 20 minutes later, and when all of the evidence of the teaching and all that we had was gone. But the people, the leaders, would have stayed at the drop of a hat, even if they knew the police were coming to arrest them. Which might mean prison sentence. They did not know what it would be. Verse 19, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. I mean, that's power. That's power. You can bind Satan, bind the evil forces of hell, and loose the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The power of binding and loosing is extremely, extremely important. It's a key to the kingdom of heaven. It's a key to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus moving in the Spirit is the one who controls the kingdom. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Now listen to the next verses. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests, or the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, and the scribes, and be killed, be crucified. He's telling them he's going to be crucified. And raised up on the third day. Now listen, Peter was not yet anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. He was a disciple, but he was not yet anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. So listen to what he said. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, rebuke Jesus. God forbid it, Lord. That shall never happen to you. Now listen to Jesus' response. But he turned, this is Jesus, and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Satan is the one that tells you you don't have to die. And the Pharisees were led by Satan. They were blind guys leading the blind. You read the description in Matthew. Jesus excoriated. I mean, it's not Jesus meek and mild. I mean, he ripped them apart because they claimed to know God, and he knew they didn't know God, and they were leading people to hell. They were in hell leading people into hell. And he was really harsh with them. And here's the key. This is the key, death. That we must all die. If we are to be used. And if we die this death. And the Pharisees wouldn't. They not only feared physical death, but they feared the death of the soul. Listen, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Your own soul life. Deny your own soul life. Psuche is a Greek word. Our own personhood, our own will, our own mind, our own emotions. And take the cross and follow me, for whoever wishes to save his soul life, that's what the Greek reads, whoever wishes to save his soul life will lose it. But whoever loses his soul life, for my sake, shall find it. In other words, if you will lose and die to your own will, and die to your own mind, and die to your own emotions, die to your own spirit so that the Holy Spirit can lead your spirit. The Holy Spirit can control your will. And the Holy Spirit can control your mind. And the Holy Spirit can control your emotions. And God, when you're baptized in the Spirit, not only empowers you, but He writes the law of love on your heart. He writes the law of love. I mean, He writes the law of love in your heart. And that means perfect love. And that means Galatians 5:22, which is describing perfect love. And the fruit of that perfect love in 5:22 of Galatians is love and joy and peace and patience and goodness, and gentleness, and meekness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Control of the self-life. You can't control your self-life. And the Pharisees wouldn't die to it. They were proud, they were arrogant, and they refused to die to it. And they wouldn't die to it. But if you'll die to it, God will deliver you from fear of death. The fear of death to your soul life. Thinking that you will lose your personhood. No. You may lose your own soulish personality. But if the Holy Spirit comes into you and begins to lead you and guide you and move you and move you in perfect love, you'll become a new person. Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they couldn't believe it. He began to prophesy. They said, Saul's a new man. He's a new man. Yeah, he was. The only trouble was he got into trouble by disobeying later and ended up with divine power coming against him because he disobeyed. Now, quickly, and some of this I'm going to have to shorten in order to finish in an hour. What about the Sadducees? The Sadducees were the religious rationalists of their day. Seminaries in the world today are filled with Sadducean spirit. I'll believe it when I see it. Denying the supernatural as if there is no realm of the supernatural. Trying to take every miracle and normalize it. There's some explanation. Coming up with an intellectual explanation for the flood. There wasn't any worldwide flood. By the way, this is not so far from Asbury. Some of these teachings that deny the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God. No resurrection, they said, no eternal life, no spirit world. Unconsciously, by denying the supernatural, they feared the supernatural. So the Sadducees' fear is a fear of the supernatural. A fear of the supernatural. Now, one of the things I taught at Asbury from 1970 to 2007, retiring in 2007, and I taught at Grove City College 8 years before that. So I had a long, long career of teaching. I got saved in 1963 and baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1966. Haven't been the same since. And I came to Asbury, and a lot of people didn't know what they were getting. But I couldn't deny what Jesus had done, nor would I ever. And so, but this fear of the supernatural, I can't tell you how many, many, many Asbury students. Because we used to have bigger crowds than this. We would have 30, 40, 50, 60. They were all over the floor. floor then. Of course, I was in the classroom and had a little more direct contact with students. But God was moving, and people were getting healed, people were getting delivered, people were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so all the people looked in. But the number of people, a number of students, young people, I couldn't believe it. But over the years, there were many. The number of people who were afraid to come here was incredible. Now, I'm not saying all the students knew about this, but a lot of them did, particularly when we were having 40, 50, 60 students out of the student body, and God was moving. But I can't tell you how many people were fearful. They were afraid of the supernatural. I had a spirit-filled gal who came all 4 years, and one summer she came back just before school, and she wanted to get a tape that I had, so a student came with her. She was a Christian. And then Veronica told me later that the student who was with her wouldn't listen to the tape I gave her because she had heard stories about this place, and she was afraid if she listened, she would get tainted some way, or mm-hmm. she would get injured some way, or the fear of the supernatural. Now, sometimes people will believe in the dark supernatural and not the Holy Spirit. Some people will believe in the Holy Spirit and not the dark supernatural, but they're both real. Mm-hmm. And you have to deal with both realms, and to be delivered from fear, you have to take authority over those things in the dark supernatural world so that we walk in the light of Christ. By the way, Christ says that you must be born again. Well, do you think there's anything supernatural about that? I mean, it's astounding. People can't think, let alone in the spirit, they can't think. If you're afraid of the supernatural, you should be afraid of being born again, mm-hmm. or becoming a Christian. Because, I won't read it, I was going to read it, don't take time to read it, but Paul says, you know, both in Corinthians and Ephesians, we are born again into a new kingdom. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're in a new kingdom. The Holy Spirit, we've been born again, born from above. The Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit has brought the life of Jesus. What more revolutionary thing could you have happen in your life? But it's supernatural. It's supernatural. It's God sending Jesus through the Holy Spirit in you and making you a new life in Christ. You in Christ, Christ in you. And there's nothing more. It's all supernatural. If it's not supernatural, you're not born again. You're not a Christian. You're not a Christian because you believe intellectually that Jesus died and Jesus was raised and Jesus is coming back. I believe that, and I was 31 years old before I realized. I went to church every day the time I was taken as a baby, but didn't realize until I was an adult, young adult, 31 years of age, I realized I've not received Christ. I've not received the life of Christ. I don't have the supernatural power of God in me. And then he tells you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that means a greater dose of the reality of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God, so that you can do the things that God wants you to do without fear, so that there is no limitation in doing what God wants you to do. Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, so he's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. Behold, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Do you think he doesn't believe in the reality of serpents and scorpions? And over all the power of the devil, and nothing indeed shall injure you. Don't fear. Nothing indeed shall injure you. Now, does this mean that you can't be attacked by the devil? No, you can be attacked. Does this mean there are more problems or tribulation in your life? No. You can have tribulation. You can have problems. But nothing eternally, ultimately, will injure you. You are an eternal being in Christ, and your eternal spirit will be kept by Him. And even if you become a martyr, God will have a special place for the martyrs, to reign with Jesus on the earth 1,000 years before the rest of the dead are raised. There'll be a special place for the martyrs. And so God wants you to know that He has given you authority. And how many people know that? I don't know. But very few people know it, or at least if they know it, act on it. He's given you authority, and you're to take that authority. I don't think I'm going to quite finish, but let me go to the spirit of Herod. The spirit of Herod, there's a particular type of fear that God wants to get rid of in the spirit of Herod. Now Herod was the king, Herodapus was the king, and he promised Herodias, who danced before him and pleased Herod, and he didn't like John the Baptist because John the Baptist had come against him. And John the Baptist was in prison. And so when Herodias asked her mother what she should ask for, because the king said, I'll give you anything you want. His mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. So, why did he do this? Why did he agree? Matthew 14:9. And although Herod, the king, was grieved, the king commanded it, the head of John the Baptist, to be given because of the oaths and because of the dinner guests. He feared man. He wanted the approval of man. Particularly in Christian circles, we want the approval of pastors, bishops, leaders, church leaders. Don't seek anyone's approval but Jesus, please. You may get into trouble. Don't seek anyone's approval but Jesus. And this fear was described in John 12. It's described in John 12. And verse 37. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. Now, you know, I think one of the most remarkable things is, when you think about it, they crucified Jesus, and they saw Jesus, the divine Son of God, crowned the King of the universe, high priest and king, king after the priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek, in eternal priesthood, and Abraham paid tithes before Jesus ever came on the earth, realizing that he was a priesthood of Elyon, a priesthood of eternity, and he knew that Jesus owned, God owned 100%. He gave 10% to indicate God owned 100%. And yet, with all the signs that they saw him do, they were not believing in him. The majority were not believing in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who had believed our report? See, Isaiah got the vision in Isaiah 6. And he saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And he fell down, as if dead. And then the Holy Spirit came on Isaiah and filled him. He got baptized in the Spirit. And wrote the law of love in Isaiah's heart. And Isaiah responded, here am I, Lord, send me. You need to see Jesus. You need to fall down repenting. You need to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And you need to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me. Now, the prophecy following that is quoted here. Most people, knowing all this, people living in Jesus' time, seeing Jesus, knowing what Jesus did, most of them wouldn't believe, and that's what Isaiah prophesied. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe. Isaiah said, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. A spirit of sleep. There's a spirit of sleep over much of the church. They see nothing in the Holy Spirit. How many people I've heard at Asbury say, God doesn't speak to people today. I'm sorry. You're on the wrong line. Of course God speaks. He's spoken to his people from the beginning. Just develop theologies that get away from having to hear him. Just say God doesn't speak. Read about Heidi Baker. See if you think that God has spoken to her. Of course God speaks. It's amazing. It's amazing. And yet Isaiah prophesied most people would have a spirit of sleep, a spirit of slumber, and they would not see or hear. They would not see spiritually or hear spiritually. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory. He did see his glory. That's what I was talking about. Isaiah saw the glory and he responded. He received the Holy Spirit and he moved in the Spirit. And God was sent him. Verse 42, nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, put out of the church. For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. If you love the approval of men, you're going to be blinded. You're going to be deafened to the world and what men say and the approval men give. Unbelief leads to blindness and deafness. Unbelief leads to fear. All types of fear. Fear of death. Fear of the supernatural. And fear here of man. Of man. I don't have time to follow all the scriptures I have here. But let me identify at least the fear that the Galatians bring. And the fear that the Corinthians pray. Because the spirit of the Galatians is the fourth major spirit. And the spirit of the Corinthians is the fifth major spirit. The spirit of the Galatians, if you want to read it yourself, read chapters 1 and 3 particularly. And 5. 1, 3, and 5. Or you could just read the whole book of Galatians. But the Galatians, there was a spirit of performance. Legalism. Legalism. See, the law was sent not to perfect people, but to define what sin is. Yeah. The Ten Commandments were sent to define what sin is. See, the Holy Spirit has to come to cause performance. Because I can't fulfill the law. And if I violate one little jot or tittle of the law, I violated the rest of it. So I can't fulfill it except as I receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul says to the Galatians. If you're in the Spirit, receive the Spirit, then you've got to continue to walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. This is the only way you're going to be free. And it's the only way you're going to be free of a spirit of performance. And a spirit of performance, thinking that you have to do this, 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 but don't do this, this, this. And often this Galatian, this spirit of the Galatians has more don'ts than they have do's. You know, wear the right clothing, wear the right jewelry. Don't wear a tie, do wear a tie. all kinds of legalisms. Performing, performing, performing. But performing will wear you out, and you will never be able to perform. That's why parents who demand love for a child to perform correctly, many of them set a standard, and no matter what their child does, it's still below what they say they expect. And so this fear of performance leads to what? Fear of performance. And we must let God, if you will let Him baptize you in the Holy Spirit, move in the Holy Spirit gifts, you can be delivered from both a spirit of performance and know that Jesus performs everything. Everything He wants you to do, He's performed, He's performed, He's performed, He's performed it! Shout it. What He wants you to do, He's performed. Believe it, receive it, act on it, praise Him. And, by the way, the spirit of the Galatians and legalism refuses Holy Spirit baptism. Fights Holy Spirit baptism. This is of the devil. This is not even in the Bible. I don't know. Jesus said to His own disciples, John baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now that He did it. So I wonder what they're talking about. They're not talking about the Scripture. And then the spirit of the Corinthians is based on fear of the world. Fear of the world. And the Greek word for world is cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S. And we don't have a word, our word for world doesn't mean what the Greek word means. The Greek word means a system and an order of things controlled by Satan with demonic powers underneath Satan. Because John 12:31 says that the Satan is the ruler of this cosmos, of this world. Satan is the ruler of this cosmos, this world. And so, the enemy, well, now I'll read John 12. Let me read John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you have peace, not fear. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. You can overcome the world. You can overcome the world. In Christ, following Christ, you can overcome the world. The whole world system. Practically every college that I know of, and it's happening to Asbury, practically every college I know of, Christian college, do you know how they have gone downhill? Well, at least it's one way. There are other ways, too. But they have compromised saying, well, the history department, that's the department I was in, is too spiritual. The history department is too rigid. The history department is too controlled by a theological outlook. We must broaden our intellectual horizons for our Asbury students. That's the argument that is always used. You broaden to the world, bring in the world's compromises, mm-hmm. bring in the Nicolaitan spirit, mm-hmm. which means to control the people from top down. Mm-hmm. You bring in that spirit, the Corinthian spirit brings in that spirit, mm-hmm. control from the top down, control the church from the top down, control the government from the top down, mm-hmm. centralized control over the people so you don't let the people move in the Holy Spirit and follow the Holy Spirit freely. And so, this is what happens. John 12, 31, 32. Now judgment is upon this world. The ruler of this world shall be cast out. That's Satan. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. That's Jesus. And all types of fear always defeat faith. I don't have time to develop that. But all types of fear. Fear of the Sadducees. Fear of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Herod, the Galatians, the Corinthians. All prevent faith. to the Holy Spirit, we can have faith, because faith is a supernatural gift. Faith operates only supernaturally. There's no such thing as faith naturally operating. It's faith supernaturally operating. Creating, true prayer, creating something that didn't exist before. True prayer doesn't change circumstances, it changes, it creates something new. When I get healed miraculously of cancer, I had cancer, and later I didn't. And both were real. And God wants you to be set free of all fear so that you can walk continually.